Last week we ended off where Shaul dies, Yoina's son and two other sons of Shaul die, and Klal Yisrael lost the war against the Plishtim. Now it seems natural that David would be the next one up to be appointed as king. However, we're going to see this week in this paragraph, that David does not assume the kingdom immediately. Now, this shows the great esteem that David holds Shaul at. He does not assume that, obviously, Shaul died, now I'm going to be the one to be the king. No, this is not true. Maybe, just maybe, his son, Shaul's son, will be the next one to be king. And we'll see that that's, in fact, what the general of Shaul, Avner, has planned. And doesn't exactly go as planned, as we're going to see. But it's at least what he attempts to do. Now, it is true that Avner has a point. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov Avinu, before Binyamin was born, U'melachim mechalatzecha yetzeyu. Meaning, from your last son who was not born yet, there will be melachim. Plural.
Kings.
Plural always means at least two. So the only one we had until now was Shaul. He was the only one, the only melech, the only king from Shevet Binyamin that ruled over Klal Yisrael. So, in order for the bracha of Hashem to Yaakov will be fulfilled, there has to be at least one more king that will come to power, and that is Shaul's son, Ish-bosheth, as we're going to see. So now, David did not try to take the kingship with force. He did not attack Shaul when he had two opportunities to kill Shaul. He passed on it. He did not kill him once when he was together with him in the cave. He was so close to him, he can even cut off a piece of his cloak. And yet, he did not send a hand in Mashiach Hashem. He did not kill Shaul. Second time was when him and Yoav snuck into the center of the camp where Shaul was sleeping. They stole his personal jug and his personal spear. They had an opportunity right then and there to kill Shaul again. But again, David did not kill Shaul. He did not think it was the right thing to do. Even though his generals urged him to do so, he felt it was the wrong thing, and he passed up the opportunity twice. Now, again, even though he saw Shaul died, and he might assume that his turn has come, his time has come, he did not forcefully take the kingship, rather, he waited to see if his son would be appointed. Which is, in fact, what happened. Furthermore, David did not kill out the loyal people to Shaul. Normally, typically, when a king takes control, he tries to kill out all the people that were loyal to the king before. We find the same thing in the animal kingdom. When a lion takes over a new pride, he kills the prime lion before, the alpha lion, he kills him, he takes over the new pride. What's the first thing he does? Is he kills the cubs. He kills the cubs from the previous lion, the prime lion who owned that pride. Because they are loyal, obviously, to their father, and not to the new king. So too, in the human kingdom, we find that a king would typically kill out all the loyal soldiers, or generals, whoever it was, all the loyal people to the previous king, to make sure that they don't rebel against him, and to solidify his monarchy. That's not what David did. Let's see. Let's begin the parak, and we'll see exactly what he did. Ve'acharechen, ve'ishal David ba'ashem. After this battle with Shaul and the Jews against the Plishtim, David turns to Hashem through the Urim v'Tumim, and he consults Hashem what to do. Ha'ele ba'achas ar Yehuda. He does not assume right away, oh, obviously I'm going to be the next king. He consults HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He asks the Urim v'Tumim, what should I do? Should I go and take control over one of the Ari Yehuda. Ari Yehuda is the natural place for David to assume kingship because he is from Shevet Yehuda, and they are loyal to him. V'yomer Hashem Elav Ale. Hashem tells David, yes, it is the right thing to do. Go ahead and take control over one of the cities of Shevet Yehuda. David asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which city should I take? And Hashem says, you should take the city of Chevron. Chazal explain why David was told to take the city of Chevron more than any other city. Reason being that David really was supposed to die 3 hours after he was born. Right at death, he was supposed to die. However, Adam HaRishon saw in Nevuah, he saw a prophecy that David was supposed to die right away. And he said, how could such a pure neshama like David die right away? And he went ahead and he donated 70 years of his own life, Adam HaRishon, and he gave it to David. That's why David was able to live for 70 years. So instead of Adam HaRishon living 1,000 years, he lived only 930. And as a thank you, David is now supposed to go to Hebron, where Adam HaRishon was buried. And as a Karas HaToy, with a show of gratitude, David is now taking control over Hebron, which is where Adam HaRishon is buried. Vayashem David v'gam shtei noshav, achinayim Yisraelis v'avgayel ish asnavala karmeli. This is showing that he's not worried. He's not worried that maybe the rest of the Jews will try to fight against him and show their loyalty to Shaul's family. No, he's not worried. Hashem told him to go to Hebron. He takes his whole family. He doesn't go there by himself. If he was worried that maybe they would attack him, he wouldn't take his family with him. That would be foolish. Sorry? The Jews. The other Jews that are still loyal to Shaul. They might want his son to be king. Shaul's son. Why would David have the right to assume the kingship? He's not worried. Hashem told him to go to Hebron. He does it right away. He takes his family. Not only that, his men, he brought them and their families as well. Again, another sign that he's not worried. He doesn't position them where he is in Hebron. Rather, he puts them in Arei Hebron, in the suburbs around Hebron, again, because he's not worried that anybody is going to attack him. And he has to make sure that he has bodyguards surrounding him at all times. He puts them in the suburbs. They're all scattered around Hebron because he's not worried anybody's going to attack him, since Hashem promised him that he will be safe if he goes to Hebron. The people of Shevet Yehuda come to Hebron. They go ahead and they anoint David to be king. The Melech al Beis Yehuda is now not king al Beis Yisrael. He's not king over the Jewish nation. Rather, at this point, he's only king on Shevet Yehuda, over Shevet Yehuda. They give him the message that the people of Yavish Gilad were the ones to bury Shaul. Yeah. So now what is David going to do? These people of Yavish Gilad are now showing clear loyalty to Shaul. Is he going to be like all the other kings? They kill out all the other loyal people to the previous king to make sure that they don't rebel against him? Or does he welcome them and promise them he's not going to hurt them? David sends messengers to the people of Yavish Gilad. Vayomer aleihem, Bruchim atem laHashem, you are blessed. He's giving them a bracha. Sharasisam chesed hazeh, you did this kind act of kindness to Shaul, im adonaychem im Shaul, v'tikberu oisai. He's blessing them, telling them they did the right thing by blessing Shaul. He's not threatening them in any way. By burying Shaul. Hashem should return the favor to you. I will protect you. I will make sure no harm comes your way. As a sign of gratitude that you buried Shaul. Again, David is not acting like a regular king that would naturally kill out all the people that are loyal to the previous king. He is protecting the people that are loyal to Shaul. Unbelievable. V'ato, techzakne yedeichem, v'yu livnei chayil, kimes adoneichem Shaul. You have to go ahead and be strong. Train yourself in war. Because Shaul is not there to protect you anymore. And there is the risk that someone might attack you. Probably the Plishtim. And David is now assuring them that he himself, David the king over Yehuda, will protect them and make sure the Plishtim do not attack the people of Yavish Gilad because they buried Shaul their king. So at this point, David is king only over Hebron. V'Abner ben Ner, Sar Tzva Shel Shaul, Abner, the son of Ner, who was the general of Shaul, Lokach Ish Boishes ben Shaul v'yavirehu machanaim. He takes Ish Boishes, who was the son of Shaul. He was not part of the war. It was Yohanan's son and two other sons of Shaul that were joining the war. However, Ish Boishes was spared. He did not join the war, therefore he did not die. So Abner takes Ish-bosheth and he appoints him to be the king over all the other Jews. V'yamlechel el Gilad, the first place he appoints him to be king is Gilad. Again, the people of
Abner appoints him.
Abner is the general of Shaul.
What gives him the authority to
appoint him? He's the general of Shaul. He is now the one. You're right, he's not a Nabi, he's not a prophet.
He did it.
Again, this was all orchestrated by Hashem to make sure that there will be at least two kings that will come out of Binyamin. So Shaul was one. The only other one that could be is Shaul's son. However, you have to make sure that David will be the next king. So that's why Hashem made sure that David was first king over Yehuda and Hebron, and Ish-bosheth was the king over all the other Jews. So Abner was a general. That's what happens. When there's no law, the most powerful man, the general of the army, is the one who takes control. That happens today as well. So Abner was the one who appointed Ish-bosheth, the son of Shaul, to be king. The first place he appoints him is Gilad. The people of Anshei Yavish Gilad, who buried Shaul, they were obviously very loyal to Shaul, and that's why Abner goes there to appoint his son, Ish-bosheth, to be the next king. After Gilad, he went to Ashur, Ve'el Ashuri, Ve'el Israel, Ve'el Ephraim, Ve'el Binyamin, Ve'el Israel, Kulai. And then, one by one, he anoints him over all the other cities in Israel, and he appoints him to be the king over all the other Jews, other than Shevet Yehuda. Ben Arbaim Shana Ish-bosheth ben Shaul b'Malchoy al Yisrael. He was 40 years old when he started being king. Ushtayim Shani Malach. He was king for 2 years. Achbeis Yehuda hayu acharei David. The people of Shevet Yehuda did not follow Ish-bosheth. Rather, they followed David. So now it's a bit confusing over here because it says that Ish-bosheth was a king for 2 years. And then it says, the next pasuk, Ve'im mispar yomim mashahiyahu David melech b'chevron el beis Yehuda sheva shanim v'shishu chadashim. It says that Ish-bosheth was king over the Jewish people for 2 years. Then it says that David was king over Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. What's going on? So Malbim explains that what actually happened is that for the first 2 years, the way it was divided was exactly the way we described. Yehuda appointed David to be the king over Shevet Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, and that remained for 2 years. For those first 2 years, Ish-bosheth was the king over all the other Jews, over all the other Shevatim. After 2 years, Ish-bosheth started losing control We're going to see how the story unfolds right now, what exactly happened. But after 2 years, one city at a time started joining David. It was a long process. It took 5.5 years. But at the end of the 5.5 years, David finally was king over the whole of Israel, over all the Jewish people. But for the first 2 years, he was a king only over Shevet Yehuda. That's the way it happened. So now let's see what was the trigger event that helped David become king over all the other Jewish people. Vayetze Abner ben Ner, v'avde Ishbosheth ben Shaul. Abner, the general of Ishbosheth, used to be the general of Shaul, now he's the general of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul. He leaves Machanaim to go Givoina, to go to a place called Givoina. V'yoyev ben Tzeruya. Who is this Yoyev ben Tzeruya? Tzeruya is the name of a woman. This woman was the sister of David HaMelech, which means that Yoav was the nephew of David HaMelech. So David appointed his nephew to be the general over his army. Yoav had two other brothers, Asael, who is going to be the star of the show in the next few psukim, and he had one more brother, Avishai. Avishai and Asael were the brothers of Yoav. Yoav was a general, and now Yoav is leaving with his men to travel somewhere. It's not clear exactly where they were going. Yoav ben Tzeruya v'avdi David, Yoav ben Tzeruya and David's men, yotzu v'yifkishum al brechas given yachdav. They happened to meet the people of Ishbosheth, Abner and his men, at brechas given, the pool of given. Each one of them, each group, each camp sits on the opposite side of the pool. Avner, the general of Ishbosheth, turns to Yoav, the general of David, and he tells him, The Mepharshim explained that Avner was kind of joking around. You know, let's see who's stronger. Let's see if my men, the men of Ishbosheth, are stronger than you, than David's men. Or maybe perhaps David's men are stronger. He was really kind of joking around, kind of like, you know, let's see who's more powerful. Kind of like bragging, showing off that he's not worried that anyone was able to attack him. That's how it started off. However, very soon it developed to a full-scale war. They got up, they appointed 12 men from each camp to fight the other side. Why 12? What is the significance of that number? So the commentators explain that this was just like the duel that they had back in the Wild West. Back in the Wild West, they wanted to settle a matter. Two men wanted to settle a matter in the bar, fighting over a woman, whatever it was. Go out into the street, count 10 feet, 20 feet, and they would have a duel. They would have a duel to the death of one of them. Whoever won the duel was the alpha male, the most powerful man in town. That's how they used to settle things back in the Wild West. And apparently, that was the offer that Abner put down on the table. He said, he's telling Yoav, let's see who will win this battle, who will win this war. Whoever does, that means his men are more strong, more powerful, and therefore his king will now be the king over the 12 tribes of the Jewish people. And that's why they appointed 12 men from each side to fight this battle. Let's see in the pasuk. Ve'yikumu ve'yavru b'mispar. 12 Binyamin, 12 men from the side of Binyamin. U'le'ishbosheth ben Shaul. V'shneimasar me'avdi David. 12 men from David's side. Ve'achziku ish b'rosh re'eu. At first, they did not engage in a full-scale battle. It was not a war that was used that had any weapons. They just held each other's heads. They were just wrestling, basically. Their swords were still on their sides. They did not take them out yet. However, very soon, the war became very serious. And they drew out their swords. They started fighting each other with weapons. That place is called Chalka Satsurim, which is in Givin. But yeah, Muhammad Kosha Admoid. As we mentioned, it developed into a full scale battle, a very serious war. But Yahimahu in that day, but Yinagaf Avner Vanshi Israel Ifne Avni David. Avner and his men were defeated terribly by David's men. Veyusham Shlesha Bnei Tzeruya. The three sons of Tzeruya, again, the nephews of David. Yoav, who was a general, Avishai Vasoil. Vasoil Kabaraglov, Ke'echad Tzvoim Asher Vasodeh. Asel was a very fast runner, just like one of the deer in the field. Asoil. He was the brother of Yoav, who was a general of David. There were three brothers. Yoav, Avishai, and Asael. So now we're in the middle of the battle, and what happens? Vayerd of Asael acharei Avner. Asael chases Avner. He is deliberately chasing Avner in specific, and he did not turn left or right. It was very clear that he wanted Avner, and he wanted Avner only. There was no one else that he was chasing. Avner acharav, v'yomer hato ze asoil. Avner turns his head to see who's chasing him, and he says, "Is that you, asoil?" V'yomer anoichi. He says, "Yes, this is me, asoil." Now Avner has the heter; he has the ability to kill asoil. Asoil is now has the status of a roidef. A roidef is a chaser after somebody else. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that anyone who chases after somebody else, that person, the chasee, can go ahead and kill the roidef. He can kill the person who's chasing him. In fact, even a third party can go ahead and kill the roidef in order to save the chasee. So Avner now has the ability to kill Asael. He's allowed halachically to kill Asael. Primarily Avner is trying to give Asael a way out. He tells him, "Netelecha yamin chayal smolcha." Why don't you go right or left? Stop chasing me. He tells him, "Listen, I know it's embarrassing to come back empty-handed. All you have to do is chase after somebody else, try to kill another soldier." He's trying to give him a way out so he won't have to come back embarrassed empty-handed that, you know, he wasn't able to capture anyone. So he tells him, "Why don't you chase somebody else, kill some other soldier? That way, you'll be able to protect your dignity. But you won't have to kill me, Avner." But Le'ova Asael is Machrov. Le'ova means in his heart. Asael did not want to listen to Avner. He did not want to stop chasing him. He held that Avner was wrong by starting the war and by appointing Ish-bosheth to be king. And he wanted revenge for his uncle, David HaMelech. But Yosef oid Avner lemar al-Asael. Avner turns to Asael again. Surlucha me'acharai. Stop chasing me. Lama akecha arzo. Vech esa pnei Yoav, ponai el Yoav chicha. Why should I kill you? He's telling him. I can easily kill you. Please, I'm begging you, please stop chasing me. I don't want to exercise this possibility. I do not want to face your brother Yoav. Apparently, Avner was very afraid of Yoav. Yoav was a general. He's a very powerful man, skilled in war, a skilled warrior. And Avner did not want to face Yoav's fury. Vayimayin lasser. Yimayin is different than what the pasuk says before. Le'ova means that he did not want to in his heart. Vayimayin means that he said so in his mouth. So even though he said so in his mouth, in his heart, he was already changing his mind. He said, "You know, maybe it's actually a good idea to stop chasing Abner. Maybe it's not so wise. Abner can easily kill me. But he said, in his mouth he said, that he does not want to stop chasing him. But in Marin Lasser, he said to Abner, he does not want to stop chasing him. So what happens? Abner takes the back of the spear. The sharp part is in the top of the spear. But the back is also sharp. Not as sharp as the top. But it's also pretty sharp. They used to stick their spear in the ground. That had to be somewhat sharp so they can stick it in the ground. If it was just flat, just like a stick, it would be harder to stick in the ground. So it had to be somewhat sharp. So Abner takes the back of the spear and he kills Yoav. He smashes it behind him into a soil. He kills a soil by ramming the spear into the fifth rib of a soil, which is exactly where the heart is. The spear goes through the body of a soil. He died on the spot. And he did not experience any pain. Any person who came to where a soul was killed, where a soul was murdered, stopped there. did not continue fighting any longer. Yoav and Avishai, the two brothers that are left, are now chasing Abner. They want revenge. They are the Goyalei Hadam. You want revenge? Vashemesh ba behema ba ad givas amash al pnei giach derech midbar chevrein. The sun is already going down. It's almost night. It's almost time for them to stop fighting. They can't really fight at night anymore. And they want to make sure they kill Abner before the sun goes down. Now the Gemara talks about why is it that Yoav and Avishai were allowed to kill Abner. Abner was allowed to protect himself. He was a chasee. He was a nirdaf. And the halacha is that he's allowed to save himself by killing the raidef, by killing the chaser. So the Gemara says that a soil had the possibility of stopping a soil by hurting him in one of his limbs. How do we know that? Because Abner had such good aim that he was able to ram the spear into the fifth rib, which is exactly where you kill a person. If he had such perfect aim, he could have easily stopped the soil by ramming it into his leg or into his hand or something of that nature. The fact that he didn't and he chose to kill him instead was held to Avner's detriment, and that's why the two brothers, Yoav and Avishai, are now allowed to go ahead and kill Avner. So they're now chasing him. They want blood. They're thirsty for blood. They want revenge. So everybody else stops fighting. The only ones who are still chasing Avner are Yoav and Avishai. The rest of the men of Binyamin are now joining Abner. They are now one group. They come together, they regroup, and they're standing at the top of the mountain. They're ready to fight and protect their general, Abner. Abner turns to Yoav and he tells him, do you want this war to go on forever? Didn't we kill enough people? There's no point in continuing this. The whole point of the war was to see who is more powerful, who will win this battle. That will determine who will be the next king. So now that we determined that, now that you are more powerful than my men, because you clearly were able to overcome us in battle, there's no point in continuing the war. Why don't you, Yoav, call your men, tell them to stop, and let's call it a day. Don't you know that it's going to end up very bad? If we continue this war, many more Jews are going to end up dying. When are you going to when are you going to tell your men to stop chasing their brothers? We're talking about Jews killing Jews now. Why continue the war? It's pointless. Completely pointless. Yoav answers Avner and he tells him, Chai Elohim asher lulei dibartu. Ki azma beker nala o'am ish ma'achar yachiv. Yoav is telling Avner, listen buddy, it's your fault. You were the one who started this war. It was your idea to have the 12 men from my camp fight the 12 men of your camp. If not for you, we wouldn't even engage in this war, and all the lives of the Jews would be spared. So don't blame me for all this bloodshed. That's what Yoav was telling Avner. However, he realizes that Avner does have a point, and there's no point in having the war continued. So what does he do? Vayiska Yoav shofar. Yoav blows the shofar as a sign to all the other Jews to stop fighting. Everyone hears the shofar, they realize that Yoav was telling them to stop, and they cease fighting against the other Jews, against Shevet Binyamin primarily. Again, the rest of the Jews, other than Shevet Yehuda, are the ones that are protecting Ishbosheth and who want Ishbosheth to be king, but it was Shevet Binyamin in particular that were protecting Avner, their general, because Ishbosheth is from their Shevet. That puts an end to the war. Avner and his men realize they are still in danger, so they did not camp out. They kept on walking the whole night, because again, they were scared that the men of David will still attack them, or that Yoav and Avishai will revenge the blood of their brother and try to kill Yoav. So they walk the whole night, they do not rest, they do not stop for even 1 minute. They cross the Yarden, they get all the way to Machanaim. Yoav is now gives up. He does not want revenge anymore. He stops chasing Avner. Veikbot is kolom. He gathers all the people. Veipakdu mavni David tishasar ish vasel. The only men that died of the camp of David are 19 men and the soil. The Malbim asks the obvious question: why is the soil counted separately from the 19 men of David? Isn't the soil one of the men of David? Shouldn't he be counted as the 20th person? The Malbim explains that Asael was such a tzaddik, he was held in such a high esteem that he was shokel keneged all the other men. On his level, he was on such a so righteous. He was as righteous as all the other 19 men of David's men who had died that day. That's why he's counted separately. So we have 20 men, 19 plus Asael, who died from the men of David, and we have 360 men from the camp of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, who Avner was a general. So clearly we see that between these two camps, the camp of David and the camp of Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, David's men are way superior over the men of Ishbosheth, because they were able to kill hundreds from Ishbosheth's camp in comparison to only 20 from their own camp.
So I notice an interesting lashon here. It says, "Mibinyamin uvanshe Avner." It doesn't say anshe Binyamin.
Right. Because Binyamin, anshe Avner is referring to all the men from all the shvatim. We had 11 shvatim. 11 tribes that were loyal to Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul.
Okay.
And that's really the rest of the Jewish people. Only Shevet Yehuda, only the tribe of Yehuda was loyal to David. They appointed him as king. He had 11 tribes who appointed Ishbosheth to be king. So when it says Anshi Avner, it's referring to all those 11 tribes. Because we're talking about effectively all the other Jews, other than Shevet Yehuda. And then you have Binyamin, who were particularly loyal to Ish-bosheth because he was from their shevet. But this war begun the deterioration of the kingship of Ish-bosheth. From then on, all of the other Shvatim, one by one, city after city, started joining the camp of David. They accepted him to be their king rather than Ish-bosheth. It took 5.5 years. It was a long process. But at the end of that process, David became king over all the Jewish people. So let's just end off. We have one more pasuk. They took a soil, was killed by Abner. They buried him right next to his father. They walk the whole night, again, because they don't want to be attacked by the people of Abner. When they got back to Hebron, their own city where David was king, that's when it became light. So we're going to see exactly how the whole thing unfolds, how David eventually takes control over all the Jewish people and becomes king over the whole of Israel. Okay, we'll stop here.